V-31. Moore Residence, Archway, Colorado. Give us a minute. Clark smiled at Mr. and Mrs. Moore while he led their desolate-looking 23-year-old son upstairs. Some of the things we have to discuss might be quite uncomfortable for you to hear. Both of Jason's parents were shaking their heads, upset and beyond disappointed that he had seemingly fallen back into the bad habits it had finally looked like he'd been able to kick for good. Jason, although hesitant, realized he was in no position to resist Clark's will. Once upstairs, he opened the door to his old childhood bedroom. Clark roughly pushed him inside and closed the door. "What were you doing in the woods last night, and where the fuck is Tara?" he demanded. As Jason's lip began to quiver and his eyes fell to the floor, Clark knew for sure, for the first time, that he was hiding something. He grabbed Jason by the collar and effortlessly pressed him against the inside of the door. "Talk," Clark grunted, keeping his volume low to avoid alerting Jason's parents, but keeping with a breathy intensity more impactful than a shout of any decibel level could ever hope to be.
"They'll kill me. They'll kill my parents. They'll kill my cousins. They'll—"
Clark pressed his forearm into Jason's chest, cutting off his words and causing him to take several quick gasps in a desperate effort to replenish his lungs. In the last few seconds, all of Clark's worst fears had been confirmed. Jason was in over his head with the wrong people, and he had dragged Tara into it.
"I'm not who you think I am," Clark said menacingly but almost silently, breathing the words into Jason's ear. "The gentle giant, the big brother everyone wants, that's just a picture they paint. So trust me, asshole. Whoever's got you by the balls and whatever they're holding over your head, there is nothing in this world they could ever do to you that would come close to what I'm capable of."
Clark leaned back, then showed Jason he meant business by placing a firm hand on his face before squeezing his jaw in a manner that suggested he could start breaking teeth whenever the urge struck. In his younger years, Clark's time in the military had provided a structured and positive outlet for channeling the aggressive tendencies that had punctuated his youth. Those years had made him a better man, and the high-risk private security work he took on in Iraq after a medical issue ruled him out of active duty had continued to help keep the beast inside at bay. His current police work occupied his time and mind, but the animal inside was still there. He didn't like making grave threats to Jason Moore or anyone else, and he liked even less that he knew the threats weren't empty. All signs of fear then faded from Jason's eyes in an instant, replaced at once by dejected sorrow. His body slouched forward in a way Clark hadn't seen since Dan found out the IDA leak was a hoax, and it certainly would have hit the ground had Clark's arm not been propping it up.
"I didn't have a choice, man,"
Jason sobbed, abandoning his ongoing effort to keep himself in check.
"Not with what he's holding over me. I took her to the woods and he was waiting."
"Who?"
"He said he just wanted to ask her some questions while he had the chance, and he promised they wouldn't hurt her."
Jason's words, weak and low, were sometimes difficult to make out through his guilty and fearful tears.
"Clark, I swear, he said they won't hurt Tara. It's Dan and Emma he wants. He'll let her go as soon as—"
"Oh, well, that's just fucking fine then," Clark boomed sarcastically, unconsciously abandoning his strive for quietness. He grabbed Jason's jaw again and squeezed harder than ever.
"Listen good, you little shit stain. You've got 5 seconds to tell me who did this and 5 minutes to take me to wherever he's hiding."
"It's Jack,"
Jason blurted out.
"Jack Neal."